When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I got my crime juice.
Crime juice? I have mine.
All right, cheers.
Cheers.
Authorities are desperately searching for a killer accused of going on a rampage.
The search for a possible serial killer.
An urgent manhunt for a man authorities believe is behind a triple killing spree.
Police here speculating that a possible serial killer may have struck again.
I told her to get out of the car, and that's when she became afraid, and then I shot her.
Welcome to Jesse Wiseman's Crime Corner. Crime juice. Some of you were asking, one of the eight people, although we are up to 25. Thank you. 25.
That's right.
Someone was asking what is in the crime juice. So it's whatever rosé I can find at the Valero gas station and some sparkling water, otherwise known as a spritza. A little bit of wine and some sparkling water so that you can be, like,
drinking more
without it being, you know.
And why is it in that giant glass?
Because I will knock it over otherwise. So we have tried, and you guys remember one of the shows. Mm-hmm. It was just
two spills.
I think it was three.
Was it three?
I think it was three and possibly more. But it was just a normal, kind of like a pint glass or just a little wine glass. I think it was one of those, like you have.
Maybe.
And the amount of times that I talk with my hands, very animated, what can I say? But anyways, we are missing our third mustache, Coop.
Yep.
It is it's 30 degrees out here in Texas. Mm-hmm. And he's driving far, and so we wanted to keep our little boy safe.
Yeah.
Our sweet, sweet boy, and we said...
He does have an old car, you know.
You know, who among us, right? But it's like, it's a dangerous world out there. I didn't personally want to be responsible for Coop's death. I'll leave that to someone else.
I wouldn't mind at all.
I'll leave that to the next girlfriend. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I can't be the one that is responsible for his death. So anyways, Coop, you are missed. This episode, I needed him only because this episode is probably the most brutal, the most insane. I don't do trigger warnings. I don't. But if I were to do a trigger warning on any of the shows, it would be this one.
Fuck.
And I do have to say right off the top, This case was suggested by your sick fuck wife, Kavetta. And I say that with love. It takes one to know one. I say it with love. I didn't know how fucked up she was. Now I know, and her and I are going to get along. But but I will be roasting you and her the entire episode because...
It's bad.
One of the worst. Remember Dahmer?
Yeah.
Dahmer was a tiny little pussycat compared to what... Yeah. And it really does play on a lot of people's fears and phobias and nightmares and everything. And it just is literally the worst. We will say we are doing the case of Colleen Stan, the girl in the box. You guys... It was a pretty high-profile case in the 80s, so I'm sure people have...
Some people know. I don't know about it.
Well, you don't know about anything.
She sent me a paragraph text about it, and I just copied it and sent it to
you. And sent it to me.
Yeah.
Had you researched a little bit, you would have not have sent that to me. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you would have been like, I think... Great.
This is not going to be good.
Great.
For me,
so anyone who's claustrophobic is going to have a problem. But we'll say off the top only because, you know, it was a pretty high profile case about a kidnapping, girl kept in a box. We can go through the details of that, and we will, but that's what we're getting into.
Oh, God.
Ah, bud.
This is going to be a dark one.
It's going to be a real dark one, but let's start off with some fun. So last episode we did, the last Patreon episode we did was about Ben Renick, the snake breeder.
The Johnny Depp of snakes.
The Johnny Depp of snakes, who was killed by his wife, tried to make it look like a snake bite, didn't work too well because 8 gunshots to the head is not going to really look like... A snake did it, but she tried, and she was a masseuse. So a lot of these, what we did was, since it was kind of a fun, punny episode, we asked the audience, Patreon audience, to send us their titles, and we would pick from them and put it on the audio. So we're not sure yet. We would love your guys'.
You haven't decided yet?
I have my faves, but there's a couple that I can't decide between. But
okay.
Let's shout you guys out and read these titles. Like I said, there's snakes involved, and the girl is a masseuse. It's kind of all you need to know, right? A lot of these are going that way. One of my faves, Alec Like Baldwin, right?
Yes.
He suggested Skank in the Grass, and I have to say Front Runner, right?
That's good.
Devin O'Brien. Snakes Gone Wrong.
Good.
You know, maybe Snakes Gone Wild, something like this. But no.
Something like that.
Yeah,
like
but I like it. I like it. William Beaumont has 3.
Oh, wow.
He just couldn't decide. Or actually, he has 2. One of which may be a front runner, not sure. Lady on the Streets, Snake in the Sheets. Come on. That was
That's
good.
One of my favorites,
that was good. And then the Snaky Masseuse.
Oh, the sneaky masseuse. Yeah.
Crime juice.
Crime juice.
Rubes. We got to shout out Rubes. Amen. Not that he's going to win, but he insulted us with the title, right? So Snakes and Shiatsu. And then in parentheses, he put, that's
a massage.
That's a form of massage, you dum-dums.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, thanks, Rube. Thanks. Dylan Bowen, The Snake with 2 First Names.
The Snake with 2 First Names. That's good, because the wife had 2 first names.
Oh, yes.
Right? Lynn Lane or something?
God damn, it's like
It was 2 L's, wasn't it? I can't remember.
Something Lynn.
Yeah, it was Lynn something.
Amy Lynn, Annie Lynn, whatever.
Yeah.
One of those. Terry Lynn, Tina Lynn. Tina Lynn. And then the second one, which I love a lot. The guy's name was Ben Renick. Ben Snaking Around. Good one. B-E-N, Snaking Around. Love it. Joshua Ayers, Snakes for Stopping By.
It's good.
I like that one. Mm-hmm. I may pick one that's like the dumbest pun instead of the best like title, right? So we'll see.
It's up to you.
My criteria is changing every day. But Danielle Wieland, Cold-Hearted Snake. Now look, straightforward. I like that. If
good
I were
title.
To choose one, it would be that one, right?
Yeah, it's a solid title.
BK. The Johnny Depp of snakes, because the quote from that episode, the Johnny Depp of snakes, was pretty good. It was pretty good. It's such a nerdy thing for those snake fuckers to say, right? He was the Johnny Depp, yeah. And then the last one is Ben Renick, Death by Gattle Snake. Get it? Like a gat?
Yeah.
Cody, that's Cody Bailey.
I think that's my favorite.
It is, because it's just like
a gangster, you know.
I like when you have to explain it. Like, get it? Like, you don't want it to be straightforward. You want it to be like, no, because like gat, like a gun, right?
Yeah. Like a gat. Yeah.
Although I will say, Lady on the Street, Snake in the Sheets is very good too.
Yeah, there's a few. There's
yeah.
Top,
we'll
there's
we'll pick
three.
One, but these are the top front runners.
So
thank you guys.
Picking. Okay.
Okay, if I were to pick right now.
You don't have to.
I think I will.
All right.
I'm going to go Dylan Bowen's Ben Snaking Around.
Okay.
Right? All right,
Ben, you got it.
That's it.
Ben Snaking Around. His
Ben
name
Snaking
is Ben?
Around. The main guy.
The guy that... No,
Ben Rennick.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, but the guy that won the quote.
No, Dylan Bowen.
Oh, Dylan.
Dylan.
Good job.
Honorable mention to William Beaumont, though, because the other frontrunner was Lady on the Street, Snake in the Sheets.
That's good.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And for this one, we're not, you know, there's really nothing else you can call this besides the girl in the box. Also, you know, we want people to find it. We want the show to blow up.
Yeah.
And people search The Girl in the Box. I'm sorry. But on the next one, I think we might do this more. Because it's fun.
Keeping up the title.
Okay. I think it's fun.
But not this one. I see what you're saying.
Not with this one. This one we're going to have to really stick to the IP.
Okay. Mm. Copy.
All right, Crime Juice. You got your five-hour juice?
My Crime Juice. Is it okay if Crime Juice is different? Or it has to be...
Crime juice is whatever you need.
Because mine's whiskey.
To get through the crime. Yeah. Your crime juice is going to be different than my crime juice. Going to be different than Coop's crime juice.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah. All right.
Let's get into it.
Buckle up, you guys.
See how fucked up my wife is.
Let's see how fucked up Joel's wife is. And maybe an insight into what she's into. Okay? I know. Now, oh, no. I will say to her this because she does love it. Cavetta, it's interessant that you sent me this. Okay?
Interessant.
It's interessant,
yeah.
My friend. And believe me, and by the way, everything I say is with love. Because in order for us to be friends, she's got to be a sick fuck that sends the worst case of all time as her only suggestion. Okay.
I'm worried about this because these shows already make me a little paranoid about.
Yep.
All these wives killing their husbands.
No, no, but it's not.
Their wives.
This isn't at all that. She may just be trying to tell you, like, stuff she wants to try out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right. So, Colleen Stan, the girl in the box. Colleen Stan was born on New Year's Eve, 1956, to mother Evelyn and father Jack. She was the oldest of three daughters and was raised in Riverside, California.
Riverside.
I know, dude. This is a Cali case, dude. This is Northern Cali.
Yeah.
Yep.
Riverside.
Around the time that we were born, too, bud.
Shit.
Yeah. People. We were in California as this girl was getting fucking tortured in a box. All right.
Oh God.
We were living right there. We could have saved her, bro. We could have toddled right over there in our diapers and saved her. Anyway, Colleen was always a creative free spirit and, of course, a hippie, right? Northern California. It's just, like, against the law not to be a hippie. She was such a free spirit, in fact, that she dropped out of school at 16 and married a man she had been dating. The two moved away, but their marriage only lasted a year. Weird, right?
Interesting.
You would think that 16-year-old marriage would be forever.
Yeah.
Right? It's always sad when stuff like that doesn't work out, right? When you drop out of school and marry some guy and move away. And it isn't forever.
Was he an older man?
No, I mean, it wasn't weird like that. They were around the same age.
Okay.
I think he was like 19 or something, but didn't work out. Didn't work out, you know? After her divorce at age 17, creative free spirit Colleen, right?
Hippie.
She moved to hippie, creative.
Divorce.
Played by her own rules. Wasn't much of a school person, she said. You know how that goes, right?
Yeah.
I'm really smart, but like I don't know. I'm just not into school.
Teachers suck.
I'm destined for better things.
Oh, no.
She was, Joel. She was. Your wife fucking knows what she was destined for. Okay, so after her divorce at age 17, she moved in with a family in Eugene, Oregon. So it's just kept going north, right?
Okay.
Bob, Alice, and their young daughter were friends of Colleen and eventually roommates. So they all lived together. Colleen loved their daughter, and they were all really good, you know, friends. I'm sure she watched, was like part babysitter, part friend. Little hippie house.
Okay. I see.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm picturing it.
Yeah. She's going through, you know, she just got divorced. She's
a young teen divorced.
Young divorced teen, just trying to figure out her life. On May 19th, 1977, 20-year-old Colleen decided to surprise her friend in Northern California for her birthday.
Okay.
Colleen didn't have a car, but she considered herself a professional hitchhiker, Joel.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay? And this might be another case of all the 70s, where, like, a lot of people hitchhike. It wasn't as weird as it is now. I mean, the lessons we learned from all the hitchhikers that either got kidnapped or killed is the reason why we don't hitchhike today, right?
Yeah,
but in the 70s, my gosh, it was just like, where are you going, friend? I'm on my way. It was more like, you know.
She was hitchhiking?
Yes, at age 20.
No wonder she ends up in a box. Or is she not the one? Is she the one that put someone in a box?
No.
Okay.
No. No, this is pretty straightforward kidnapping and put in a box, okay? So she had gotten two rides so far and was only about 100 miles away from her destination. So she kind of just needed one more ride. She could be there before night. She turned down two rides because she didn't have a good feeling. So, like,
no.
One was, like, a group of guys, and then another was, like, a trucker, and she was just like, I'm good. Like, I'm looking for
the right person.
I'm looking to be kidnapped and put in a box, you know what I mean? I'm not really wanting to, like, just drive with you guys. So she had turned down two rides.
Third time's the charm.
Yeah. And so when 23-year-old Cameron and 19-year-old Janice Hooker and their 8-month-old baby pulled up in their blue van, blue, like, minivan, she was like, oh, my gosh.
It's a little
this
family.
This is perfect. This is a little family. They're going right where I'm going. Like, this is amazing. I could not have found a better ride. So she jumps in the back. And she had her bag and a sleeping bag with her, and she was just, like, sitting in the back, talking to the family about where she's going. She did say that she was surprising a friend. And we now know, to keep ourselves safe, we always let people know, you know, if you're hanging out with someone or whatever, if you're getting a ride, if you're on a bus with someone, whatever.
Let people know where you are.
You let people know that there's somebody expecting you. So you're not, like, surprising someone and nobody's going to be looking for you for weeks, right? So you kind of just go, yeah, I just talked to my friend. I told her I would be there by tonight, so she's going to be expecting me that. You know, she didn't do that. But again,
she did the opposite.
This is the 70s. We didn't know this stuff yet. Yeah, it's a big surprise. No one's going to know where I am for weeks. Yeah. she kind of let it all out there. But anyway, she only did that, I think, because she felt so comfortable with the situation as anyone would,
yeah,
right?
I mean, like, that sounds, I feel comfortable.
Are you really telling me that something bad is going to happen in this situation?
They've got a little kid.
They've got a baby, literally a baby, and they're young. They're her age, like, seem normal. So she wasn't thinking anything. Colleen and the family were talking. Colleen actually noticed, though, maybe it was in hindsight, maybe she noticed at the time. You never know when people are recalling a story. But she said that she noticed Cameron kind of looking at her in the rearview mirror weird. And she was got a little bit of a weird vibe. But again, was like, but no. I mean, he's probably just, He might be just a weird, dorky dude. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
They stopped at a gas station for snacks, and Colleen remembers looking in the mirror in the bathroom and hearing a voice in her head just be like, jump out the window and leave. Like, you can't, like, don't get back in the car.
Really?
And she was like, and she ended up being like, God, I'm being crazy. Like, as you do sometimes, where you feel you, and especially as a woman, where you're like, I don't want to make them feel bad, and like, I'm just being crazy, right? Because we're never taught to go with our first instinct. We're always taught that we're insane, and that if we like think anything, it's because we're fucking insane, right? And so right. She's like, no,
it's nothing.
It's nothing. What is he? There's a baby in the fucking car and his wife. Like, what is he gonna do all of a sudden? Fucking, I'll tell you what he's gonna do.
Oh God.
So
I was thinking that she was gonna jump out the window because she robbed them or something. She was stealing from them, you know, hippie,
sure,
divorced teen.
No, she's not like that.
She was getting creepy vibes.
She was getting weird vibes, but again, like I said, this is in the retelling, you know, of her retelling the story.
Yeah.
And you look back on things and it's gonna seem different than in the moment. It was probably a fleeting, you know, she probably remembers like a little thought of like, huh, weird.
Right.
And then in the bathroom being like, should I do this? And then just, you know, so as you tell the story more and more, it's going to become a different thing. But shortly after, so she got back in the car. She's like, duh, fuck it, whatever. Got something to drink.
It's fine.
Got back in the back seat with the young family and their baby. By the way, when they were chatting, Cameron was talking about these caves that were close by, like these crystal caves or some kind of like, it's something in Northern California where you can like visit these like caves and go inside and they're amazing. And so shortly after she got back in the car, he kind of pulled off into this dirt road and was like, let's just go check out the caves. I mean, we're all on a road trip, like, you know, trying to keep it cash, trying to keep it hippie. And she's like,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
She,
and especially, and again, she did say when you're hitchhiking, you're not trying to, you don't tell people where to go. You kind of just like, you're either in the car. If you don't want to go somewhere, you get out, or you go where they want you to go, right? If they're wanting to see, you know, a museum or something, you stop with them. If they want to get dinner, you know. So she kind of felt like, all right, if they wanted to see this anyways, I'll just go with them and, you know, check it out.
Yeah.
It's
already, now it's beginning to get creepy already.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's not at all.
You know who would really like this part? Your fucking sick wife. Just kidding. Now she's getting excited.
So she's getting excited right now.
Your wife, yeah. She's like, ooh, it's getting creepy.
That's her accent?
Keep in mind, I've never met her. I think of her as just this, like, beautiful little blonde, you know, nymph girl that,
yeah,
like, has
like
this
fairy.
Amazing accent and is just, like, the coolest thing ever.
The accent's nice.
Yeah, I bet. So, like I said, I say it with love, but goddamn, she is twisted and she is fucked up. So the car came to a stop in the middle of the dirt road. Colleen's kind of like, huh, don't see where the caves might be, but all right. Janice just got out the front door with the baby and kind of walked off, I guess, to look at some creek. Just went through.
Oh, no.
In Colleen's mind, she just kind of got out and walked somewhere. She didn't really know what was going on, leaving Cameron and Colleen in the car. Cameron quickly jumped in the back seat, held a knife to Colleen's throat, and told her that she is going to do whatever he said. He put her inside her own sleeping bag, zipped it up, and you know, like the sleeping bags that have kind of like the cinch at the top?
Yeah.
Cinched it around her neck so she's kind of like in this like sleeping bag cocoon.
With just her head sticking out?
Mm-hmm. Not for long, though, because he would put her head into a box that he had made, a la some kind of, like, bondage situation. This box, by the way, had been sitting next to her on the seat the entire time, and she was kind of like, meh. Like, whatever. It's
wait,
some
a head? What do
yeah,
you mean?
So basically, it's almost like a clamshell. There's a hole. It's a clamshell, and you put it over the person's head. And lock it. So So like clamshell it over with the neck. Inside is padding, carpet. So if you scream or whatever, no one can hear you. So she now has a box over her head. She can barely breathe. She's inside her sleeping bag. And he laid her down in the back and told her to stay there.
The fuck?
Yeah. So, yeah. Wrong car, Colleen. Yeah. You took the wrong ride, buddy. Okay? And you didn't listen to any of your instincts. So, I'm sorry, but... Your title of professional hitchhiker has just been revoked, right?
She doesn't seem to have very good instincts all around.
All around. Yeah. So at this point, let's introduce Cameron and Janice, the couple that ended up picking her up. So Cameron was a lumber and mill worker with an intense bondage fantasy.
Oh, fuck.
Cameron met his wife, Janice, when she was 15 and kind of forced her to become his slave. He would hang her from trees by chains. He would whip her, stretch her on racks, chain her up, torture her. The two were married when Janice was 16. So Janice was kind of like his first victim. There's actually a book that was written about her ordeal and all of this, which was called The Perfect Victim, because of her upbringing, she wasn't abused, but she was part of a big family, and you know, her parents didn't really give her any attention except for to tell her that she was like stupid or that she wasn't good enough, whatever. It was not a great home life. So
yeah,
she was the perfect victim to turn into a slave and make do whatever you wanted her to do, as long as you gave her praise for it. Like, you're so awesome for doing this. This is amazing. You know what I mean?
Holy shit. So she's a slave too?
She is the, yeah. I mean, some would argue whatever, but like if you're marrying someone at 16, if you start like...
In the 70s.
Right. When he's five years older. So... You know, you kind of just go like, okay, I guess we're getting married. I guess this is what you do if you don't know anything at 15. So he turned her into a slave and ultimately into a perpetrator, right?
Like brainwashed her fully.
Yeah, 100%.
What the fuck?
So they were married when Janice was 16. And after a couple years of Janice like fulfilling all of his dark fantasies and... doing whatever he wanted, whether she wanted to or not, he expressed interest in finding a new slave because he just wasn't that interested in it anymore. You kind of, with this kind of stuff, you need to keep it exciting. Once someone is so compliant and it's not really like that fear of them not liking it or screaming or wanting to escape, if you don't have that, especially with the kind of bondage that he's into, which is he doesn't want consent. He actually would rather you... He needs you to kind of not want to do it. So if you ever get comfortable with it and you're like, all right, put me on the fucking rack, whatever, then he's like, nah, this isn't doing it for me anymore. So...
This is fucked up.
Yeah, dude. This is not even the fucked up part, dude.
Good. I'm already uncomfortable. I'm
yeah, you fucking should be uncomfortable.
It's 30 degrees and I'm all sweaty.
You're all sweaty. Yeah. You picked this. Your wife picked it. Coop's not here. You're in the hot seat, bro, with one of the worst cases ever brought to my desk.
I'm sorry.
Detective? No, I'm just joking. No, look, it's a famous case. I'm sure people
kind of know about it.
Yeah. Although I will say this really quick, like, you can't find many videos. There was a Snapped, there was a 48 Hours. All of that has been taken down, probably because this day and age, like, I mean, dude, the amount of trigger warnings and the amount of things that you have to say, like, this next part, if you know, claustrophobia, rape, suicide, all of that, you can't put enough disclaimers on the fucking thing. So they've taken down a lot of the videos.
Wow. This is going to be fun to look for images for?
The images you can find. Very easy to find images, but you cannot find, like, documentaries, videos. Like I said, they did a lot of high profiles, like a Dateline, 48 hours, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And all of those have been taken down.
Wow.
Just saying. But images all over. You can find images of like the box, of the head box.
Ugh, that's so creepy.
Of not with her in it, but like what it looks like. Yeah.
I'm claustrophobic, so that would fuck me up. Even if I was walking around with just that on.
Yeah, so good thing you picked this case, bud.
I didn't pick it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Your sick fuck wife. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so he was expressing interest in finding a new slave to be with them. He didn't want to leave her, but like maybe adding someone to the mix, right?
This is kind of like the story we did on the pedophile who had the two kids. The one started getting old enough, and so...
Yes.
The second one?
Yeah, it's the same kind of thing where, not the same kind of thing, but the same sick fuck thing where you get someone young enough, you brainwash them, and then you try and turn them into a perpetrator like you so that you both, you know, you have something on them as well. So it's like, you can't go to the police because I'll fucking tell them you did this, which you did, right? So that's another way of trapping them.
Ugh, it's just creeping me out thinking about how they're living that long and having that like fetish or that fucked up problem that they're doing, and they do it so much that they're fucking bored of it, so they have to get someone else.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
And they do this shit every day, dude. Like when you have, especially if you're a young dude, 23, and you have that kind of fetish and you have someone that's fucking down, they were fucking doing weird ass shit all the time. It's a full-time fucking job for these creeps, dude.
What the fuck?
To me, I'm like, how do you find the time, dude?
It's a lot of energy, yeah.
I can't even fucking... Why don't I even have time to work out? Anyway, so Janice agreed, obviously, because she agrees to everything. She's very submissive, but she had conditions that she wanted to have a baby. So if he wanted to give her a baby, he can go get a fucking slave, and he couldn't have sex with her, like couldn't penetrate. He could do all this fucking weird ass shit. Whoa. He could get off, whatever, but he can't actually have sex with this slave. He's like, all right, cool.
He agrees.
Yeah.
She's got some power.
Yeah, because he's like, oh yeah, she's got some power. She's got some real power, dude. All right, so let's go back to the ride from hell to hell. So now we're back in where Colleen is being kidnapped. She is confined to the head box, laying in the back seat. So again, this is where, so he couldn't penetrate her. So then after the child was born, they began actively together looking for a hitchhiker to be a slave.
So they were driving around. Exactly.
Yeah. And I'm sure they like picked up some people that weren't going to work, let them out, whatever. So they wanted to find someone that was going to be another perfect victim. Like the first one he had.
Story. This feels like a movie.
Yeah.
They're just like two fucked up people.
It is. It does feel like a movie because just it's unimaginable.
Yeah.
The craziness, the creepiness,
every day too for them. Just driving around looking for people.
Yeah.
Pretending to be normal.
With a baby in the car.
That sounds so fucked up.
And they're married. Yeah. It's just it's a level of evil and insanity that it feels like a movie because we can't wrap our heads around the fact that people like that are out there.
Yeah.
In the world. All right. So she's laying in the back seat in her own sleeping bag with the box on her head. And they start the journey back to their home. But first, they had to stop to get some fast food, and they stopped, and they were just eating burgers in the front seat with Colleen in the head box and sleeping bag in the back. She recalls, like, being able to smell their food, being like, are these fucking sick fucks just sitting there eating? Like, that's how... I feel like I can't eat if I'm, like, a little bit nervous.
Yeah,
so, like, the fact that you are so... calm about this situation that you're able to like then
they're like excited for the adventures to come, right?
He definitely is, you know. Janice TBD on what that actually was, but When they got to the house, it was dark. I think that's what they were probably waiting for when they stopped, is like they needed it to be dark so they could get her.
They needed to waste some time.
Yeah, so they got her in the house without the neighbors seeing, and they led her. She's blindfolded. She has the box off, but she's blindfolded now. And they lead her down into the basement, and Cameron immediately hung her from the ceiling, both hands in restraints. And she was standing on top of almost like an apple box type thing, a refrigerator, and he quickly kicked that out from under her. So she was hanging almost like a cross. So like not even hanging straight, which would be more like a little bit more comfortable, but really far out. So you're just like shoulders are getting ripped apart.
Just day one.
Day one, dude, immediately she got down in there. This is still the first fucking day. He stripped her naked and began whipping her. Janice went upstairs to put the baby to bed, as you do, right? You don't want to, you gotta stick to the bedtime routine. While Janice was upstairs putting the baby to sleep, Cameron was sexually assaulting, but again, not actual penetration. And Colleen, as Colleen was asking why and screaming, Cameron left her downstairs hanging and put something else under her feet, but it was like just her tiptoes. So she was like pressing with her tiptoes to try and get to a place where she wasn't, you know.
I don't like this
just
topic.
Just straight
at all.
Suspended. Yeah, you shouldn't. But this is going to be a lesson to you.
Why did you agree to do this, though?
I mean, it's high profile. It's high profile and it's fucked up. And I just wanted to make fun of you and your wife the whole time. Really is the whole thing.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm uncomfortable right now.
Yeah, that's about all of the, like, stuff. I mean, I honestly can't go through all of it because I can't even say all the stuff. But I'll give brief overviews of things and try and not go into, like, real, real graphic. But the first night, I think, is important, and then the rest is kind of be like, look, she was in a box. What are you going to do?
This episode of Crime Corner is brought to you by Strike Force Energy.
Coop, do you know Strike Force Energy?
Hell yeah, who doesn't?
Dude, so this is a sponsor that was, you guys are going to know it, oldie but a goodie. They were one of our first sponsors on all shows in the very, very beginning. Veteran-owned, awesome product. They were backing us when no one else would. We love Strike Force. What's Strike Force Energy?
When you need to hit the ground running and keep going, reach for Strike Force Energy. This isn't just another energy drink. It's a powerful punch of clean, sustained energy with a delicious flavor that won't let you down, no matter how demanding your day gets.
So yes, you remember Strike Force. They are back. New and improved. New flavors. All sugar-free. Turn a bottle of boring water into an energy drink? How many times in the studio here are we like, dude, is there any energy drinks? No, we didn't get any ordered. Like the Strike Force, the packets now that we're going to have at the studio are going to be miraculous.
I am looking forward to it. With Strike Force, you can make your own 16.9 ounce energy drink with no sugar, no calories, no stirring, and no shaking.
Really quick, that's important because most packets that you're putting into your drink are powder. This is liquid. It's going to mix with your water instantly and energize you.
I ain't got time to shake.
I ain't got time to shake this water.
Just add one pack to a 16-ounce glass to turn your water into a full-power energy drink.
Go to StrikeForceEnergy.com and use the promo code DRINKINGBROS for 20% off your entire order. That is StrikeForceEnergy.com. Use the promo code DRINKINGBROS, and that's 20% off every time you order, not just your first order. Every time you go to the site and get a couple boxes of Strike Force Energy. They have a lot of different flavors. Our favorite is grape, but every flavor is going to be no sugar, no calories. Go to StrikeForceEnergy.com and use the promo code DRINKINGBROS for 20% off your entire order. That is StrikeForceEnergy.com. Use promo code DRINKINGBROS.
Fuel your hustle with Strike Force, because when the pressure's on, you need a force to be reckoned with.
Woo! So Cameron and Janice came back downstairs. So he left her hanging down there. He went upstairs, got Janice, came back down. They had sex at her feet. She was then strapped to a rack, and the box was put back over her head, and she was left like that overnight. This evening was the beginning of 7 years of unimaginable torture and confinement. Okay? But just to, like, ease your mind a little bit, it does get into some Stockholm. It does get into some, like, many opportunities to escape where she didn't.
Oh, no.
Because she was in it. Yeah. She's in it.
Oh, God damn.
So,
after that happened to your fucking brain?
I mean, there's all kinds of psychology behind it and Stockholm when, you know,
is
in her
mostly
will.
For women or is it men and women? It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter, but women have more kind of empathy as far as like feeling bad for people or trying to see why people do things and, you know, figure out, you know, feel bad for people, basically.
Yeah.
Right? And be like his upbringing or whatever. Who I don't know.
Jesus
but
Christ.
After 4 days, Colleen's family was called by Bob and Alice because they had not heard from Colleen. They found out that she had never made it to her friend's birthday, and many missing persons reports were made by the family and Bob and Alice in both Oregon and California. Her family never knew what happened to her. They would continue to check in and just had no idea where she went. Although, again, if you're a free spirit and you get married and you leave and then you go live with some roommates in Oregon, you're maybe not going to be in real close contact with your family. Yeah. Or you've clearly left at a young age to where they're like, you know,
she'll come back when she's
ready. She'll come back when she's ready. Maybe we're not getting along. Maybe whatever it may be. Yeah. And she kind of does her own thing. There's no cell phones. So, like, if you can't get a hold of someone, it's like, okay, well, I don't know the landline that she would be staying at. She needs to call us, right?
Right.
And, you know.
So they're not even sure if she's
it's not like a child being. Right. But it's not like a child being abducted, right? It's a 20-year-old. And, you know.
And she's a wild card.
Right.
So the kidnappers picked the right person.
The kidnappers picked the right person. And then also, you know, police aren't real motivated because, you know, a lot of times they want to be like, it's an adult that's run away before or, you know what I mean? So they're not like freaking out about it because it's not a family that's like, she calls every day. She was living with that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's
like,
an adult.
Hey man, like we don't, she kind of does this, but like, we haven't heard from her. We're kind of worried. And they're like, cool. We'll like keep an eye out, but they don't even know anything. You know, it was the roommates that knew she was going to the party. The parents hadn't heard from her in a while. So they don't have any details of whatever.
She's fucked.
So for the first 2 weeks, she's kept in a small box with her hands and feet restrained. You can find a picture of this, too, with only a small hole to breathe out of the top. Basically, he would stretch her on racks, hogged, like, what is it? Quartered. Stretched and quartered.
Like Braveheart?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, to the point of, like, passing out, not being able to breathe, hanging, whipping, electrocution, defecation in front of him, no showers or sleeping, and was strapped in a box after basically being let out to do this stuff, eat, and go back in the box.
What the fuck?
By the way, Cameron built all of this stuff. So, like, this is when I say, like, things like Dahmer and this person, like, their fantasies and their compulsions, like, are full-time. It's a full-time job. I mean, he is building stuff for it. He's kidnapping people. It's every day something is happening to this person. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. One day, about a month into her nightmare, Cameron let her out of the box and handed her a slave contract. Okay, so here's how we get into the mind control of it.
Yeah.
So this contract detailed all of the rules that she would be needing to follow, or else something called the company would kill her and her family. The company was explained to her that it was like this satanic group that he was a part of, and it's a bunch of high-powered people. And if she says anything to anyone or tries to escape, the company knows who she is, who her family is. Again, pretty far-fetched. I don't know, like, definitely at this point, I don't know how many people would believe something like that, but I guess you never
know. But in the 70s?
In the 70s, if you're broken down, sensory deprivation, and you're just, I mean, a little ninny.
What does it matter if she believes or not, right?
You what?
What does it matter if she believes or not?
Because she needs it. He needs her to believe it so that he can keep her confined without actually being confined, right? So he needs her to think that there's this, like, bigger thing so that she won't, like...
Otherwise, he goes
to work. There's things... There's going to be moments where she will be able to talk to someone or escape or get out, you know? So he needs to know for his insurance if he has... Again, if he has to leave or if she goes upstairs or whatever, that he knows that he also has, like, invisible chains on her as well.
How long is this?
How long is what?
Or how long until...
So the contract was... The contract was only, like, a month into her...
Fuck.
Into her confinement. The rules included never crossing her legs in front of him, never wearing underwear, doing whatever he said. Her name would be Kay from now on, and she would wear a collar and only refer to Cameron as sir or master.
Fuck.
Soon after this contract, Cameron moved his family and Colleen to a mobile home on a couple acres of rural land. So it was a lot more private.
Fuck.
To do whatever the fuck, but there wasn't a lot of room. This is where Cameron built a coffin-like box that slid under the couple's waterbed. 70s.
Oh, God.
The 70s, bro. Actually, we're getting into 80s at this point.
Yeah. So even that bed's a little old, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't waterbeds like 60s, 70s?
I feel like waterbeds were an 80s thing.
Or was it 80s thing? I don't know.
Late 70s, 80s thing. You're going to have to look that up. You're going to have to be the coop
right now.
So Cameron built a coffin-like box that slid under the couple's waterbed. She would live in this box for about 22 hours a day, only to be let out to eat and be tortured for the next 3 years.
Fuck.
So let's talk about the box.
You're right, 80s.
So it's under... It's under a bed, so it's only big enough for you to lay down. You can't put your arms up. You can't turn to the side even. Ugh. You are just, like, flat down. She's got a bedpan in there. There's a lock on the outside.
Under their brand new waterbed.
Brand new waterbed.
Yeah.
The more Colleen...
What the fuck?
Oh, yeah. So she was under there about 22 hours a day, only to be let out to eat and be tortured for the next 3 years. She was even in this box as the couple's second child was born on the bed above.
They had a home birth?
Yeah. Well, you have to. You don't have any fucking money while you're going to go to the fucking hospital.
Are they broke? That's what it is? They're super poor?
They're not broke, but I mean to say that they're
fancy waterbed, you know?
Yeah, to say that they're super fancy waterbed, to say that they're recluse is.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Is an understatement, right? Like, they are definitely They don't go anywhere. They don't. Janice doesn't even really leave the house, right?
So he just works and the rest of the
he
time.
He works and comes right back and
there.
They don't leave. It's not like they're taking him to OBGYN, you know, appointments.
This is really fucked up.
It's fucked up, right?
22 hours a day.
Again, if you're claustrophobic, Joel.
I am. I don't even want to
think
about it.
Can you fucking imagine?
No.
The air, like the circulation that she had is he put like a hair dryer on the cold setting through a hole, which by the way, air dryer, like a hair dryer on cold is not actually cold. It's like a little bit warm, but at least it's like some kind of circulation. But the more Colleen complied to all the stuff he wanted to do and just go along with it, the more freedom she earned. So she started to be able to sleep in
Jesus fuck
the bathroom upstairs, chained to the toilet instead of in a box. So she's like starting to get more, you know.
If you follow the rules.
If you follow the rules, if you don't escape, if you believe in the company, all of these, like, you can start to just like be the slave that we want you to be. We don't want to real put you in a box, but we don't want you to fucking escape either, right? So we would love for you to Dahmer, right? Like, he would just love for someone to like want to do all that shit, but he couldn't find anyone, so we had to fucking kill him and do it to them while they're fucking dead, right?
Right.
So like, if you can find someone that's into it, that would be the dream. They just can't, so they have to fucking do fucked up shit.
I feel so bad for them that they couldn't find someone that was into this.
I know, sad, right? We don't kink shame here. Sometimes you got to kink shame, right?
Yeah, we kink shame today.
Sometimes you got to kink shame, guys. And I think that bondage without consent is pretty shitty. So she was allowed to sleep in the bathroom. She began helping around the house, working on the garden outside. She was watching the kids. She sometimes even slept in the couple's bed with them as like this, trying to do this, you know, slave
threesome.
Not even, just kind of like, these are my slaves, right? Like, he would love to just have like a harem.
So he's got two slaves.
He's got two slaves chilling in his bed. Janice was getting a little bummed and jealous about the situation, right?
Oh, no.
Bitch.
No, that's all she needs now is a jealous woman picking on her while she's
great.
Already a slave.
No. Great. It's like, oh, I didn't fucking ask for this, girl. Colleen was allowed to go on jogs around the neighborhood.
What?
Okay.
Jogs?
She would go on runs, dude, and come back.
Want to keep her in shape?
She just wanted to, you know, you want to exercise if you're laying in a box for, you know what I mean? Like, so she was allowed to do that.
They let her go for jogs and she just didn't leave.
And she came back.
What the fuck?
Thank you. Now we get into some frustrating parts of the story where you just go, what the fuck, dude? And where the mental aspects need to be more explained, or you're going to be saying to yourself, like, are you fucking kidding? Like, I would run away or whatever, right?
I was outside.
You're going to be real frustrated. So Colleen was allowed to go on jogs. She was, she would talk to the neighbors. She even was allowed to call home and talk to her family.
What?
Mm-hmm.
She talked to her family? No.
Yeah, she said she was just living with this dude, computer programmer dude, that's her boyfriend, and she's fine. And again, we're going to get a little frustrated with the family as well, like, and them not calling the police, them not doing welfare checks, not asking where she is. Like,
not visiting?
You know, it's been five or 6 years at this point, 5 years that your daughter's missing. How are you not like, oh, my God, like... Where have you been? What is going on? Are you okay?
I'm fine.
I'm fine. I'm good. So she was afraid of this satanic company. And so she didn't.
It worked.
She didn't even try to escape not once, not give a little winksy to a neighbor, not pass a fucking note to anyone, not, you know,
Jesus.
Call her family when she's out on a jog, nothing. She was being tortured constantly and sleeping in the box, and this was for another 2 years that it went on like this. But they had gotten so comfortable. They knew she wasn't going to leave. Cameron even took her back to her family's house for a visit. He went with her, and he told her to tell her family that Cameron was her computer programmer boyfriend. They were in love. They were going to get married. Her family was confused, but they didn't ask any questions because they didn't want to scare her off again. So she seemed serious? She seemed happy. There's pictures of her during this visit. She's hanging on Cameron, smiling. She looks very happy. She later will say, "Yeah."
Oh, God.
She later will say that she was just so happy to see her family. But I think at this point there is a little bit of like Stockholm falling in love with your captor, like not feeling
severe
like
brain damage sometimes.
Severe brainwashing and just. You know, because when you are tortured like that and then someone comes and kind of takes you out and gives you food or like whatever, you start being like, you know, you feel affection for the person that's taking you out and taking care of you, even if they're the ones that put you in. It's like this crazy fucking thing.
And it was
thing.
Like alone time with her and him and not with the wife around.
Right. And it was like, you know.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh,
so.
God.
Yeah. I don't think you
were getting a divorce.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to have a conversation.
I need to
with
talk
her.
To my wife about why she chose this.
Again, like she's coming in hot. Like, you know, she's not like, oh, I'm just going to give you some little, you know, husband killed his wife case. I'm going to the fucking craziest possible thing. So. Again, there's pictures of this time. They're looking really happy. They're looking in love. She didn't have to be hanging on him. She
can
was.
See pictures of this moment? When
yes,
she's with
you're
going to
show them right now.
Fuck.
It's just one picture of her, and she has her arm around him. He's laughing. She looks very happy, and this is at her family's house.
God damn it.
So.
This is fucked up.
She left her family's home and went back with her captor to the box under the bed and got in.
Just climbed
opens
in.
It up, just climbs in on her own. At this point, Colleen was made to get a job and give all of the money she made to Cameron. So she's now like in the workforce. She's leaving home, working at a job, and coming back home to this. Now we're getting into like, what the fuck?
The
going back home, going back in the box, doing all the fucking shit, whatever. She is a little bit at this point forming a relationship with Janice. And the kids, because she's starting to be upstairs more, helping her around the house. They've even, like, gone to movies together. Like, they're starting to be friends.
Becoming sister slaves.
Yeah, like the most extreme fucked up sister-wife situation of all time.
What
do the kids think? I have no idea. They had no... According to the documentary that I saw and the Perfect Victim book, the kids didn't have any idea, although... Not sure how that's possible, right?
They had to have known something. I mean, how old are they?
Well,
like
they've at least so the baby was 8 months old when she got
so
kidnapped.
Like six,
so we're
seven.
Now getting seven. The oldest would be almost 7 years old. Like, I mean, I have a 4 year old that would have been like, "Hey, where the fuck does the babysitter sleep?" Do you know what I mean? Like, he
is she
would
in the box.
Where's she sleeping? Like, where's her bed? Where's your room? You know what I mean? Like, things like this. So, I don't know.
Fuck.
This is
like, some of the most fucked up shit I've ever heard.
Ever heard. There's people like this in the world. They can't really get away with this shit too much anymore because of, like,
the world
literally,
is a better place because of all this. The less privacy we have, the better. That's what I'm learning.
It's kind of true. Like, there would be footage of... You know, there would be cell phones. Let's just say that.
Yeah, they'd have
you'd be
cell
able to
phones.
Track shit. Your neighbors, we are a little bit more nosy now and would be like, what the fuck is going on with that, right?
Yeah.
Whereas back then, like I said, with the Stephen Stainer case, people were kind of like, oh, we just kind of stayed out of it, you know, yeah. And everyone's like got their own. You don't want to get into anybody's business. Where I think now, unfortunately, or fortunately, people are more willing to kind of question what's going on. And
God damn it. How many times this happened when no one ever found out? Did you see the movie Barbarians that just came out?
No.
It was pretty popular. It's actually, my wife told me to watch it.
All right, bud. All right, bud. Are we seeing a pattern now? Yeah, this is more of an intervention than anything. No, just kidding. So what's this Barbarians about?
Well, you should watch it if you haven't seen it. It's pretty good, but it's about the same thing. Like, this guy kidnaps a woman and then has a kid with her, keeps the kid, raises it up, and the kid is like a woman who's like a, well, it's complicated, but she's like a monster.
Part killing people. Okay.
And it's Jason Long, I think his name is.
Really?
The funny guy.
Huh.
I didn't like him. After I saw this movie, he's in my good graces again. He's really funny.
Oh, okay. Anyway. Okay.
But now this is creepy that she liked that movie and she liked
Yeah, you guys
case.
Watched anything just kind of funny or lighthearted? Or you just go to metal shows and fucking watch
metal shows and horror movies
and bondage. Cool, dude. Yeah. So look, and by the way, happy for you, right? I'm happy for you. That's great.
This is what I'm into.
That's great, man. It's definitely what she's into. So I would start buying some ropes.
Yeah, I
guess and I racks know. And whips.
I should probably increase the
just check it
activity.
Out
activity. Yeah,
just check it out. She might be a little happier if you know what I mean. So Janice began, So Janice at this point again was feeling very unhappy, weird, a little bit anxious, having panic attacks. She was not liking the situation. She was feeling bad. They also at this point, Cameron and Janice started going to church a lot more. Colleen would go with them sometimes. They seemed very religious, but Cameron was also using certain scriptures to make the women feel better about what they were doing.
Yeah.
Because if you want to, you can turn any, like, you can find a story in the Bible that will justify your fucking shit that you're doing, right? If you want to.
The Bible's the perfect
If you want to twist it and interpret it and, you know, try and make people feel like that's the real meaning, you can do it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what he was doing.
He'd been doing it for hundreds of years.
Hundreds of years. See, God, this is God's will. That kind of shit, right? So, but Janice was going a lot more kind of by herself and starting to feel bad about what she was doing. Starting to feel bad after 7 years. And she began talking to her pastor and kind of told him what they were doing.
No shit. She could, like, confession? Was it a confession?
Yeah, I think she probably felt like if I confess, you know, look, no one in this story is the smartest person in the world, right? So she maybe was like, I can confess to him and, you know, nothing's going to happen. I can get off my chest, but it's your pastor. They don't, like, turn you in or anything, right?
Yeah.
Which they don't, he was like, the pastor urged her to let Colleen go and, like, stop doing what they were doing, right? And I don't know if she kind of told the whole story at this point.
He actually knew and then
No, I don't know if she told the whole story at this point, but kind of, like, told him that she was feeling bad.
That they have a situation.
They have a situation, whatever. And he was just like, you know, you're living in sin, whatever. Like, this can't happen.
How can I come over?
Yeah, he was like,
maybe I should try her out for a couple months.
She's just like in the box. So
and
Janice
now gets in on it.
No. Okay. So Janice now started the process because her pastor was kind of, you know, no, that isn't cool. That isn't actually what God's saying. Right. Like, started that kind of process. Janice now started to plan on helping Colleen escape. She started by telling her they went for a drive and she told her that there's no such thing as the company. It's a total lie. he was lying to you to get you to do all this stuff. And Colleen's like, what? There's no such thing as the company. Oh! And so, you know, again, because she's been brainwashed and broken and all of this, according to her, or the way that she tells it, is her whole life just like crashed. Because yeah. then you feel like an idiot.
Now you feel fucking stupid.
You feel stupid. Everything was just a total lie. Everything that you've been told, the people you were protecting, everything. It was just not real. I don't know why that was like the first time that she thought that, but hey, is what it is. Colleen then called a family member to get money for a bus ticket home. They got
this
it.
This is like in secret, like hiding from the husband.
Yeah, this is like Janice like helping her get out.
Shit.
Janice and Colleen waited until Cameron went to bed, and they told him that they were just going to sleep upstairs, like with the kids in the living room. So Colleen made it to the bus station that night, where she called Cameron and told him she was leaving him.
Oh,
because
fuck.
It was kind of a relationship at this point. In a weird fucked...
She called him
and was like, I'm leaving you. I'm not doing this anymore. He burst into tears. He's begging her to stay. He loves her. Like, he wanted to get married. Like, all of this. And she was like, no.
What the fuck?
Thankfully, she was like, no, I'm going to go. She got on the bus, left, and went back home. Now, when Colleen got
She's
back
still
home...
She's still fucked up. She called him.
She called him.
Fucking hell,
That's not
man.
The only time she calls him. So, Colleen went back home, but didn't really tell her family what was going on. She kind of was just like, she didn't really touch on it. She didn't go to the police.
Holy fuck.
Nothing. She just wanted to move on and not deal with it. In some ways, I understand that, but...
No, how do you understand that?
Just wanting to be like, dude, like, I don't want to go. I don't want to do a
crime
fucking...
Crime juice! This is darker than the Dahmer episodes.
Yeah.
This is fucked up. Wait, what do you mean she didn't call the cops or anything?
I think it was just like, there's arguments to be made for just being like, dude, that was so fucked up. I'm not trying to like go to trial and literally tell everyone all this fucked up shit. She probably felt fucking stupid.
But he needs to go to jail.
Don't worry.
What about someone else?
Don't worry. So, yeah, well... I don't think she cares about somebody else at that point, but
I guess I wouldn't give a fuck.
She was
either.
Just like, you know what? And at this point too, which we'll hear in the trial, is like, she's not, you know, she's talking to them still. She's saying she forgives him. She's like,
oh my God,
I know. She is that fucked up.
I forgive
mentally,
him.
Mentally
I need to do something else for now.
Yeah. So Colleen would call and keep in touch with Janice and sometimes even Cameron. Janice and Cameron ended... Well, Janice told Colleen as well, like, don't say anything until I figure out how I'm going to get out of this. And then we can, like, kind of do this together. As far as, like, go to the police and stuff. Like, don't do it now because I want to keep my kids. I want to get out of here, whatever. So Janice and Cameron actually separated for a little bit. But... love finds a way, right? They got back together. And at this
Holy
point, when
shit.
They reunited, now they're trying to, now they're getting rid of all evidence that Colleen was there. So, like, all her stuff, all the, like, you know, torture stuff, whatever. Like,
this never happened.
This never happened. So, if the police come or anything, they're going to be like, what? Like, nothing here. Nothing to see here. We're just a married couple with some kids, right?
Oh, my God.
So... Colleen's family also was urging her to go to the police. She would she would kind of drop a couple details every once in a while, but
there's
not really
hints, but never told them.
Never told them, but just kind of said,
fucking
oh yeah, he
hell.
Would. She probably was saying things not even knowing that it was bad. Like, oh yeah, he would make me blah, blah. And you're just like, or yeah, when I was with my boyfriend and his wife, so, whatever, something. Yeah. You're like,
we did this crazy shit.
Yeah. You're like, huh? Hey, man, I don't think this was cool. Again, her family.
Did she ever do anything fucked up to her family? Just like
no.
From habit or something?
No, but.
You know, like,
I'm pissed at the family a little bit. Like, if my daughter was missing
yeah.
for 6 years, no call, no nothing, comes back, looks different, skinnier, hair's thinner. She's with some weird guy with Dahmer glasses, by the way, that like is not her type, and just it's just a real strange situation. If the fact that they didn't just go like, what is going on, or get her to another room or whatever, and just be like, what is up? Are you okay? This is crazy. Where have you guys been? Where are you living? What's the address? What is this? They didn't do any of that. And let her go and still didn't do anything. Still didn't call the cops and just, can you check on this? This is who it is. Like, I don't know what's going on with my daughter. But again, who knows if the police, they're like, oh, that runaway that you called about a couple years ago? Yeah, she ran away with some dude. Like, again, you know, they have enough cases that are, like, real. They need to, like, go after kidnappers, whatever, where you can't just be like, hey, my 20-year-old is acting weird. They're like, cool. Okay. Go get her. I mean, I don't know. Go, you know what yourself. I mean? She was at your fucking house. What do you mean?
But why didn't they just go over there for a minute once?
I don't think they got... They didn't get any information. They didn't get any information. The sister was like, I wanted to ask her. She looked weird. It was fucking weird. And my parents were like, don't say anything because we don't want to scare her off. We want her to come back and visit. And if we like push her on stuff or make her feel bad, like she's not going to come back. Right. It was their mind because she's an adult at this point. She's not a child. Right. So Colleen's family at this point, when they're getting these little details, are urging her to go to the police, but she wouldn't. She didn't want to do it. Yeah. Finally, Janice went to her pastor again and told him more. And he was just like, you have got to, you've got to call the police. She was like, no. He ended up calling with Thank all the information God. That he had given her. And when detectives ended up talking to Janice, they knew that they actually needed her testimony to get Cameron on anything. So they had to grant her total immunity. Nothing would happen to her as long as she told them everything. So, again, little fucked up because Janice, again, debatable. But she also was like very complicit in a lot of this shit. But again, she was scared too. She had been
it started the same way.
Started
for her
the same
it
way
was for her
exactly. And when you're scared of someone and he has total control over the situation, like I'm sure she didn't want to lose her kids. There's all these things that could have been
and
said, but
she was around it her whole fucking life. Total so it seemed normal.
Yeah, total immunity. Yeah. Anyways, but so she then began to talk and confessed everything that her and Cameron had done and everything I told you leading up to that. And she actually told police that he had kidnapped one girl before Colleen, but killed her in like 2 days and got
Holy
rid of her body.
Fuck.
So it was like started out like Colleen, but like did not end.
Killed her or
no, was like, it was real killing. And it was just, they were like, whoopsie, not going to do it that way again. Right.
Oops, we took it too far.
Yeah, you got to practice, right? You got to figure out what's going to work. Detectives then went to talk to Colleen.
Crime juice.
Who, again, didn't want to talk, didn't want to do this. She didn't call the police. Someone else called. Janice, you know, started this ball rolling, and then the police show up, and she's like, okay, I guess we're doing this. I kind of wanted to move on, but all right. So Colleen was, according to detectives, just really calm and detached and explained things in a very just lucid, like you're talking about. Yeah, like you're talking about going to the park the other day. Like just like, oh, and then
to a movie.
Yeah. Just I got hung up and then I was in a box and then I was like down and they were like, dang, like this girl is messed up, but I don't think they have enough experience with it to really know what was going on. So they're just like, okay, all right. Well, she actually corroborated everything Janice said. So they were saying the exact same thing. The cops were like, oh, damn. Okay.
Shit.
Back at the mobile home, detectives were trying to find any evidence that hadn't been thrown away. They ended up opening like a, whatever, a notebook, like my chicken scratch, and out fell the contract that Colleen had signed.
Oh, shit.
And they also found pictures of both her and Janice, kind of like trophy pictures of hung up or on the rack or whatever. So
he had to keep something, didn't he?
Yeah, you can't. What you can't just throw away your 7 years of your ultimate fantasy. You've got to have something to look back on, right? So, yeah, you're not throwing away everything. Thankfully, so the prosecutors believed that they had a pretty great case at this point with all the evidence, the
Tell
witnesses.
Me this fucker gets jacked up for this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's difficult, but it would actually be. So they thought they had a great case. Seems cut and dry, right?
Yeah.
It proved to be a little bit more difficult when they actually got into the trial for various reasons. One of which being like this kind of stuff like is pretty new as far as Stockholm and brainwashing and things like this.
Yeah.
Where people actually understand it, it's fairly new, right? What are you listening?
Huh?
What are you like?
Oh, no, I'm just creeped out, and I'm worried that he's going to get away with this.
Yeah, is it because the doors keep kind of creeping open?
Yeah.
Is, like, a door open? Not the front.
I don't think so.
No, right? Blown open or anything? No?
Is it windy now? No, it's still daytime out.
I don't know, but it is.
It's feeling creepy in here.
Yeah,
well,
and cold, yeah.
Cold, it's weird.
It's weird, it's creepy. So
I'm gonna have to talk to my wife.
Yeah, you're gonna have to call her.
I'm gonna call. Yeah, well, she might be asleep already. It's 7 hours ahead.
Yeah, when do you guys talk?
At
morning
and night.
What time at night?
Usually around now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you could tell her, sorry hun, can't talk. I'm fucking learning about all your sick fuck ways, dude.
Fucking...
Just kidding. I'm doing your cute. I'm doing your cute girl in the box case.
Yeah. I'm gonna put her in.
It's
a box.
It's a real sweet one. All right. So Cameron was arrested and charged with kidnapping, rape, sodomy, and like 9 other. Whatever, aggravated kidnapping, using a knife,
whatever,
all these weird things. Yeah, whatever weird little thing, like
but not for the
coercion.
Murder.
No, they couldn't find that body, even though Janice had, like, taken them to where he had put the body. Like, they could not find any of the remains. So at that point, it wasn't even on the table. So let's get ready to get frustrated again.
No.
With the situation. So Cameron's defense was that besides the kidnapping, everything else was consensual, and that Janice only turned him in because she was jealous of the relationship that he had with Colleen. Because there was a statute of limitations on the kidnapping, so if he got away with all of the other stuff, the kidnapping, you know, he would basically walk out. Because statute of limitations is up on kidnapping. If he can prove that all this other stuff was consensual and just, like, bondage and, like, fun, kinky shit.
The fuck?
Which, it's possible, but, you know, it's going to be hard. It would be hard to prove that. But he tried. The prosecution displayed all pieces of evidence and recreated all of the boxes, like box and then the head box, and had jurors, like, they had someone that was dressed like Colleen when she was on the stand, dressless like her, and put the, like, box on her head so that the jury could see what that was, what it looked like. Like, some of them even tried the box on themselves to really see what that was like.
Why don't you all wear this box tonight for one night? How you feel tomorrow. See if there's consent.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I think, but all of them said, like, even putting it on for a second was just, like, the worst feeling in the world. They couldn't breathe, super claustrophobic.
Fuck that.
Couldn't hear, see anything. So being in that for a night, that would be enough, right? So they, a couple of them tried it on, thankfully, got in the box. They showed the box, like the smaller one that she was first in, where she was kind of like crunched in. Then they showed the box where she's laying down under the thing. So they were able to see all these things in front of them. It was pretty powerful. And then they also got an expert to take the stand that had worked with the Jonestown cult, Jim Jones, and studied Stockholm Syndrome. So they were able to, this expert was able to explain mentally what happened to Colleen and what happens to people that are just, you know, coerced, scared, you know, mentally broken down, all of these things. But the defense entered into evidence. So this is, they thought they're good, right? Prosecution, we have got these witnesses. Colleen's talking about everything. We have all of the torture devices. We have Janice talking. You think you're good. But then defense entered into evidence love letters, about three love letters that Colleen had written to Cameron after she escaped. That she loved him, missed him, you know.
She wrote him love letters?
Yeah. They showed pictures, which you're going to show the pictures of her visiting her family and looking like she's fully in a relationship with this guy, didn't say anything to her family. They're also going to show phone records that she called 29 times to the home of Janice and Cameron after she escaped. Some of these phone calls lasted like an hour. So she is like, as far as proving that it was consensual, here you go. Right?
Right.
It's like, oh, they were in a relationship. They broke, you know, Janice called. And then she's like still trying to keep in contact because, you know, didn't want it to end. They also leaned on all the, on the fact that she had so many opportunities to leave or tell someone or run away or call or tell her family. There was years where she was, again, going to a job, going back to the house, visiting her family.
So they were trying to say it was all consensual. And
yes, that was his. That was his defense. They were just into some weird sex shit. Janice was jealous and turned him in, called the police. But in fact, it was fully consensual, and she just didn't. Janice just didn't like that it was happening at her house. So this was actually a huge hit for prosecution. They were not really sure what was going to happen because you never know. Again, like,
yeah,
if they could just get a couple people to believe. And again, go back to Colleen's testimony. Like, she's not hysterical.
What does she say? Like, does she say, no, it wasn't consensual?
Yeah, she talks about the company. She talks about the contract. She talks about how scared she was. Like, she didn't think she could leave. You know, but even the letters and stuff, she's just kind of like, I don't know. Like, I don't know why I did that. I don't know. And that makes sense, too. But it's not going to make sense to a jury, right? And so if they can just get a couple of those jurors to believe that she somehow was, like, okay with it, but then now is not okay with it.
Then he could get off.
Then he could get off.
Fuck.
But again, he's saying that he kidnapped her, right?
Yeah, but, that's the part.
But because the statute of limitations is up on kidnapping, he's basically saying, like, oh, I did the one thing that I can't get in trouble for, but everything else. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he can
how does
only
that work
get
exactly like how what does that mean exactly?
It means that you can't prosecute.
Why can't they?
Past a certain point, because you don't. I don't think they have it. That's not like that anymore. But like, let's say sexual assault case, like there's, if you don't tell, you know, police and get this person arrested or press charges within a certain amount of time, then you can't.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the statute of limitations of like, hey, you know, you've got to do it now while we can get evidence and while we're not just going off of, like, Bill Cosby, for example. We're not going off of just you saying stuff. We have no evidence. We have no way to corroborate it. We just have to believe you. That's what happens when you go past
And you wait
this certain amount of time, 10 years, 20 years, whatever it is. So I think it was 10 years at this point. So it was like up. But don't worry, Joel. After 3 days of deliberation, which is a very long time, I think.
For this case, yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't you kind of be like, dude, whatever it is, fuck this guy.
Fuck this guy.
You know what I mean? Like, even if she did want to, get this fucking guy off the street. Like, whatever. But anyways, you can't really do that. The jury came back with guilty on 12 of 13 counts. So he was sentenced. Yeah. He was sentenced to consecutive sentences adding up to 104 years.
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought it was going to be like the other case where the guy that kidnapped the kid got less years and the kid was captured or whatever it was. Do you remember?
Again, though, that was in for real 70s, right?
Yeah.
So that guy's case made it so this guy got, right? So
thankfully to that kid,
yeah,
this guy got
100%.
Oh, thank God. So the dude's in jail still or dead?
Oh, in Tarascon. I don't know if he's in 80s.
He's got to be dead. Well, how old was he? Only a few years older, right? So he'd be like in his
80s. Cameron. Hang on. Cameron Hooker. No. What? What'd you find?
I thought you were ahead of me.
Uh-uh.
Cameron. Hooker.
Sorry, guys. Jesse and Joel, look at the internet. Jesse and Joel, look at the internet. Today, Cameron Hooker is serving his 104 years in prison. So
he's still alive.
Still alive, still in prison. He filed a couple appeals that were like shut down immediately.
Good.
And
oh God, could you imagine trying to date one of these girls after all that?
That's the thing. So let's talk about Colleen. She's on her fourth marriage. Because, you know, she even says, she's like, people say they're going to be okay with it, and then they're fucking not okay with it. Do you know what I mean? Oh, I get it. I understand, blah, blah, blah. And then they're not cool with it. And then it ultimately always comes up, or, you know, I'm sure she's fairly weird, either doesn't want to have sex or it's fucked up, right? So didn't really get into that, but you can imagine.
Yeah.
She has a child. Well, no, she's married now. She's on her fourth marriage. She's married now. She has a child and grandchildren.
Oh.
Numerous health issues from her years of captivity. But you know what's really fucked up, too, in this documentary that I saw? They took her back to the house and, like, filmed her. Huh?
In the documentary.
I think it was on Amazon Prime. It's the only one that you could find that's actually like a full-on documentary anymore. You can find her interviews and stuff, but ones where they like go through the whole thing. There's a two-parter on Amazon Prime, and they drive her up to this thing. They make her walk down into the basement. Someone else lives there, right? But it's still...
It's still the same house.
It's the basement. It's
and they
like,
film her doing it?
Mm-hmm. And she's she's like, weirdly, I think she's gone through enough therapy and is very religious that she's just like.
Or also. It's,
she's like, this is fucking crazy. Like, but she isn't like having a full on panic attack or breakdown or whatever. And talk about. I mean, in some ways you can say she's mentally weak because of believing all this shit or whatever. But in some ways, fucking mentally strong. I mean, if you talk about people that have like fucking panic attacks and anxiety over what? And like this bitch is in a fucking box, not able to breathe and has to like control her breathing.
Can't
and
scratch your nose if you want to, if your nose itches.
And was able to just like calm herself down in a fucking box in a place she has no idea where she is, who she's there with. And then was like, I think I just want to move on. Yeah, it's real fucked. So there is, again, there's a couple really frustrating things in this case, but,
yeah,
you know, in the end.
She made it, and he's in jail.
She made it. And then, so as far as it's like the girl in the box, I think that headline, and I think that's probably what your sick fuck wife saw too, which is like, the girl in the box is like, you know, you go like, oh my God. And there was like Lifetime movies made about it. And like, they don't go into all the other stuff. They only go into the part where she's in a box under the bed for, you know what I mean? And just living in like a coffin. And that's not exactly what the whole story is. Yeah. If that's the whole story, it's fucked up, but the it's not. And it never is.
The love letters and stuff. I just feel like the mental.
Yeah.
To the amount of mental damage she got from being in the box, you know, or the, everything, of course, but just
everything. Oh,
I can't imagine how fucked up it had to be for your, for you to call them. You know what I mean? Like,
what?
The, like how fucked up you would have to be from all that where you felt like you had to call them. Like, that fucks with me. Like, I,
well, again,
all my instincts, I would run. I would, and I'd like to think that if I was in that situation for 5 years and I got the opportunity, that I would fucking run.
So
but
we're
I,
all
but
saying, yeah, exactly. So we're
this
all
is like proven that this Stockholm bullshit is real.
I mean, look, but there are other cases, let's say like Steven Stainer, where, you know, well, true.
But he, no, he stayed for a long time.
But look, he was a fucking child.
True.
He was abducted at what? Six?
Four or six or something, yeah.
Six or seven, maybe eight. I think eight. And
then it was like
13. And was told, yeah, they told that his family doesn't want him anymore. At that age, you know, you can definitely manipulate somebody's mind. It's when you're 20, you are still a kid, I get it. But that one's hard.
Yeah.
That one's hard to be like, what would I do? What would I do? And there is all this psychology behind it as far as like what I was saying. When you're broken down so much, when you just want relief so bad, and the person that opens up the door. And also too, you know, Cameron, like after these things would happen, he would like take them down from the restraints and like hold them and be like, you know, loving, right?
Yeah.
So there, it's all kinds of like masterful manipulation. And again,
he was the one torturing them, but he was also the one saving them.
Right. And so you kind of, and so that many years of that, you end up, that's your life, that's your relationship. And all relationships are different. And if you haven't had that many, you don't really know what's real bad and what, I mean, obviously she should have known, but hey. So, you know, is what it is. But what would you do in that situation? It's not really clear.
Yeah.
You can't really
I'd like to say I would
say,
run or I'd fucking kill that guy, you know?
Yeah, but also
I'd
like
to say that, but who knows?
You would like to say that, but also like, would you even be able to make it one night in the head box?
Fuck no.
No. So it's like, okay, first of all, I wouldn't even be able to live in the fucking box
but
like that without hyperventilating to the point of fucking.
You think you would just die in the box?
I think I would freak out in certain situations that he put her in. I think I would freak out enough that I would just like not be able to breathe, because in that box and stuff, you have to control your breathing in order to actually get the breaths that you need. If you're fucking hyperventilating, whatever, and trying to get a breath.
Oh my God.
You're going to die. So nope, that would probably
be
me.
Yeah, I'd be
that would probably
first
be me.
Couple days.
I wouldn't be mentally strong enough to do it. I don't know. I would like to say I wouldn't be mentally weak enough for it to happen, but you never know. You literally never know.
Ugh. This is the worst episode.
Do you want to call your wife? You want to call her? Let her know we did it. We did your case. But again.
Thanks, babe, for the wonderful episode.
Thanks. And the one that Coop isn't on too, huh?
Yeah.
So you just had to take all the fucking heat, dude.
Yeah, he would have had some good zingers. I wish he was here for this one.
I know. Sad.
But
yeah.
That's it.
That's it. He's in jail. He's in jail for 104 years. He's going to die in there. He's never getting out.
It's a case where the guy got what he deserved, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm sure people have found out what he did and... I bet he's been put in a box a couple times.
Oh, 100%.
I bet he's been
the fact that he's still alive, like, you know, like Dahmer, they killed him fucking immediately. The fact that he's still alive is crazy. That
true.
Someone wasn't like, bro, because there is fucking jail justice, right?
Yeah. That means, I mean, he's definitely gotten some of that.
Prison justice. Oh, I'm sure. I hope.
He has to have.
But that sick but fuck, his, I bet he's fucking box. Fine with it. You know what
he
I mean?
He probably likes it.
That's the other thing you wonder, like.
But they never, he never had them torture him, no. Right? It was all just.
He was all in control, and guess what? Now he's not anymore.
That's right, and he's in a fucking box yeah. forever. Yay!
Yay! All right, guys. Thank you so much one, for watching one, on Patreon yeah. on Friday, listening on the RPR feed on Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. Love all your feedback. And again, the winner of the of the snake breeder episode is Dylan Bowen.
Dylan, you
been snaking around.
Been snaking around. That's the
been
one.
Been snaking around, dude. We like it. Love it. And again, we're not going to do an alternate title for this. It's just too.
Yeah, this is just.
It's the girl in the box. That's how she's known. If you look up anything about her, Colleen Stan, all you will see is the girl in the box. My Lord. And again, this is why she didn't want to talk. Okay. Her whole fucking life after this has been interviews and people wanting to know about the girl in the box and asking yeah. her fucking questions. So like she wasn't completely fucking out of bounds to be like, dude, fuck I off. Just want to fucking forget about it. I want to pretend it didn't happen. Right?
Yeah, I see that.
Just like this episode.
Yeah, I see
you're
that.
Gonna want, you're going to need to take a shower when you get home, huh? Clean off this episode, bud. You're welcome from Joel, guys. If you want Joel to suggest any more cases, let me know. You're so fucked up, dude.
I'm sorry, you guys.
You're
I'm
such
sorry.
A sick fuck. You and your wife. I mean, my God, you're
well,
made for each
she,
other.
What does she want? Does she want to put me in a box, or does she want to be put in a box?
I think she wants a little time. You know, when she, I think she wants some, like, light. Fun, flirty bondage.
Not straight to the hardcore shit.
No.
Okay.
No. That. There'll be consent. There'll be safe words, you know.
The
but this is
way.
Her message. This is her little hint and message to you of what she's into. And again, when I meet her, she could be like, hey, bitch, what? Like, I did not. That's not what it was at all. And then we can have that conversation. I yeah. can't wait to meet her. She I sounds like a either. Sweetie pie. Just kidding. Love you guys. Thank you for listening to Crime Corner. Jesse Wiseman. Joel.
Yeah.
Hodge?
Hodge or oh, Benner.
What are we doing?
It's Benner.
Benner, huh?
Yeah.
You always switch it up on me, bro.
Well, Hodge was my name growing up. And then
yeah. And when I knew you. And now, okay.
So now that I'm getting married, we're both going to be Benners.
Okay.
Yeah.
A little.
Be official by law and everything.
A little.
It's
a
so
little
complicated.
Sicko Benners, right?
Yeah.
They're coming the through. Naughty the naughty Benners, dude. Be careful. All right. Love you guys. You know what they didn't have in this story? Prolapse.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
The game is on the line, and I've only got a shot clock's worth of time to tell you about Subway's $6.99-foot-long deal. That's right. Order now in the Subway app and get any footlong on the menu for just $6.99. Fresh sliced deli meat, fresh crispy veggies. Ah, too much good stuff. Get it now on the Subway app. Any footlong for just $6.99. Use code 699FL now. Only here for a limited time. Redeemable at participating U.S. restaurants. Subway app, online orders only. Add-ons, additional plus tax. Additional fees apply on delivery. Excludes footlong snacks. Limited time.